Every single one of us, at different moments in our lives, have known an exultant moment. If you're a golfer, it might be when you finally hit a hole in one. If baseball is your game, it might be when you hit a home run out of the park. Basketball players talk about playing in the zone, which apparently means those special moments when it all comes together and a player apparently can do no wrong. Real fishermen get really excited about catching the really big fish. Of course, life is filled with all kinds of wondrous moments, besides those we might know in sports. Creation itself is just so incredibly beautiful, and the natural world in certain moments is revealed as it is, endlessly diverse and so amazing. There are miracles like seeing the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean, or watching it set over the Pacific, like the first day of a real spring, knowing its warmth and light, its incandescent beauty, after living through all those dark days of winter. Even more significant examples might be the day you first fell in love, or the day you held in your arms your own newborn child or a grandchild. You know, being a bishop these days is not all love, peace, and joy. But I have to admit, there are those moments which are awesome, even overwhelming, such as at the ordination of new priests. I sometimes wonder, was that me who laid on hands and said the awesome prayers of consecration and called down the power of the Holy Spirit to make another man, another Christ? In this everyday, prosaic, and sometimes tedious world, for nearly all of us, there simply are instants that could only be called ineffable. In those moments, time sometimes seems to stand still. There is an unfolding drama of the hidden and the mysterious suddenly becoming visible and apparent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it was a moment something like that that we just heard about in today's gospel reading, according to Luke. Peter, James, and John had already been in the Lord's company for some time. Those three were perhaps the Lord's closest companions, often singled out in the Gospels among the disciples to be witnesses to some special event or very important teaching. Now, they thought they already knew and understood Jesus, who he was, and what he was about. But suddenly, unexpectedly, an amazing revelation came about Jesus when he was transfigured before them. Jesus, praying up on Mount Tabor, suddenly changed in appearance. His clothes became dazzling white, and glory shone through his face. It may have been like some misty atmosphere, suddenly illuminated by the brightest and clearest of lights. That light entirely eclipsed the light of the sun. It was a light with no name. It was a light with countless names. It was, in fact, the very light of God, in whose radiance time itself seemed to stand still. The glory of his divinity had suddenly shone through his humanity. Jesus was revealed as the light that had blazed before the sun was ever created, that inexhaustible light which is the most holy Trinity. Jesus truly was God from God, light from light, true God from true God. To those disciples, was it an instant or an eternity when they realized they could not bear to gaze upon the uncreated glory of the Godhead shining through the face of Jesus? This experience was not unlike that vision of awe that Moses first saw on Mount Horeb when he encountered the burning bush, and that he saw again on Mount Sinai when he looked upon God face to face and received the law amid thunder and lightning. Now on the heights of Mount Tabor, Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, appeared with the Lord in that same resplendent glory. They spoke of Exodus, of the new Exodus that the Lord was to accomplish in the holy city of Jerusalem. Now notice a detail quite deliberate and significant in this gospel account. Peter, James, and John fall into something like a dream or a stupor while Jesus stayed awake in prayer. Almost the very same thing was to happen in the Garden of Gethsemane when the very same three disciples could not keep their eyes open while Jesus faithfully watched and prayed. Now on Mount Tabor, they suddenly came awake and caught sight of a divine manifestation. Their experience was rather like that trance that fell upon Abraham, as described in today's first reading from the book of Genesis. There was a revelation, a light and a fire cutting through the daily darkness. And like Father Abraham, those three experienced a kind of dread and terror in the presence of endless power and incomprehensible beauty. Peter began to babble. He started talking about putting up tents as if for the Feast of Tabernacles, that Jewish harvest festival that celebrated the ingathering of Israel and the gift of the law. Peter proposed erecting three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, as if one could freeze in time, a moment of revelation. But as the gospel records, he really had no idea just what he was saying. And then, out from that enveloping cloud of glory, there came a voice that proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And all fell silent as the world suddenly fell back into its ordinary framework of space and time. And there was no one there but Jesus alone. We are now in the second Sunday of our Lenten journey. From all the challenge of Ash Wednesday to all the joy of Easter Sunday, this Lenten process is something most of us have gone through many times before and will go through again and again in the coming years. So Lent can become just an annual routine, only a comforting ritual, merely a pious habit. Like Peter, James, and John, we may be lulled into thinking that we already know everything we need to know about Jesus. Hey, we're his disciples. We have known him all our lives. We're Christians. We're mostly lifers in the one true Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. We think we understand our faith. Most of us have a comfortable, reasonable, practical spirituality. Our virtues and even our sins may be rather like an old and worn pair of slippers that we can easily slip into and out of without a whole lot of hassle. But brothers and sisters, what would ever happen if on this second Sunday of Lent we all got a little crazy? What if together we climbed up to the heights of Mount Tabor, that holy mountain of mystical vision? What would happen to our hearts and our lives if we ever really allowed ourselves to see Jesus Christ as He really is, to see the endless glory of God shine through His eyes and into the very depths of our souls? What would happen if the law and the prophets leapt out of the pages of the Bible and were branded upon our minds and became the core of our conviction? Imagine what it would be like to hear the very voice of God declare, "This is my beloved Son. This is the full revelation of my love and my will. This is your Lord and Messiah. Hear Him. Believe in Him. Surrender your entire existence entirely to Him. Follow Him, even to the scandal of the cross of Calvary, so that you may one day share with Him in the glory of the resurrection." If we were ever really ready to wake up in faith, to rise up from our slumber, from a too comfortable religion in a church that can sometimes seem sound asleep, everything about us would be born again in the power and grace of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now recall that at the end of today's gospel, after all the splendor of that heavenly vision, the disciples of the Lord were left alone with Him. Isn't that really what's supposed to happen at the end of every Mass? We should first enter into this sanctuary with a hunger for God, filled with an almost insatiable longing. The holy sacrifice of the Mass should always be an exultant moment in our human existence, where we give our hearts over to worship and praise. We can hear the life-giving words of the law and the prophets. Together, we intercede for the needs of the church and the world, and together we offer our gifts to God. We know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, bread and wine truly become Christ's body and blood, our food and drink, our wonder and our consolation. But when we are sent forth from this privileged place, we are challenged to continue to follow Christ along the various paths of our daily lives. The same Jesus who once accompanied His disciples down from the mystical heights of Mount Tabor and along the way to the holy city of Jerusalem and to that dreadful hill of Calvary, in this Lenten season, He continues to journey with us, teaching, forgiving, healing, consoling, even as we leave the exaltation of the liturgy. So on this second Sunday of our Lent, may we all try once again to walk faithfully with Christ, changing and growing and serving according to His will. But, like Peter, James, and John, on Easter Sunday, in an endless spring, in a glorious light that will never end, in that eternal eighth day outside of our space and time, may the full revelation and promise of Mount Tabor at last be fulfilled. As the Apostle taught, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with His glorified body. Brothers and sisters, in the vision of Tabor, let us stand firm in the Lord.